Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My next guest is David Notaker, co-founder and CEO of Sender, the leading digital freight forwarder platform in Europe. You guys recently made a game-changing deal and signed an agreement to acquire C.H. Robinson's European service transportation operations. With this move, your combined business is estimated to hit 1.4 billion euros in revenue, unite 1,700 employees, and make you a top five FTL player in Europe by the end of next year. This is something that we're going to talk about on the show. David, welcome. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Marcin, thank you for having me.
So, hey, David, I already made you this short intro. How about we rewind to 2017? You know, three guys, a 500K revenue a month, and a dream. If you could time travel and tell your past self that Sender would hit 1.4 billion in revenue, how would you react?
Well, there was a dream, and also part of the dream we told investors. So it was there. Of course, the ride was crazy and completely different than expected. It was very unclear how we would get there. And 2017 was when we restarted with two new co-founders. Already had a first 2 years, almost 2 years period where, yeah, nothing worked, and then suddenly we changed the business model, and then it just took off. And now we're hitting over a billion in revenue, which was a big milestone we promised in the past, didn't know how to achieve it, and here we are.
Amazing. David, so from 6 million euros to 1.4 billion euros in just a few years, actually. You know, building Sender must have felt like playing a high stakes game of Tetris. Juggling tracks, roads, and deals. What's been the most unexpected moment on this journey? You know, like kind of the one thing no one prepares you for.
There's so many things that you're not prepared. Everything takes so much longer than you expect, and you need to be also a bit lucky. And I think the things that we were not prepared for is all the M&A transaction that we did. Yeah. We acquired the first French player, and while we're at the notary, we got a call saying, hey, let's talk to Uber Freight. Then we acquired Uber Freight. And 2 years later, or 3 years later, we now acquired, as you mentioned in the intro, the European business of one of the US logistic champions. So all of that experience, how to negotiate, how to prepare a closing, how to do an integration, are all things that we learned as we were adding miles to the Sender truck.
Yeah, but you know, like you mentioned luck, but luck, as they say, is preparation plus opportunity, right?
I would add that you still have to keep your eyes open to find the opportunity, right? Yeah. You have to prepare, but if you don't, you know, go out and try to see what you can do in life, you won't be as lucky as if you do.
100%. You've got to stay open. Hey, let's talk about that acquisition for a moment. We already know the estimated numbers and so on, but what's the one thing about it that truly excites you beyond the numbers?
Well, we're now playing Champions League of logistics. We are one of the top five players, as you mentioned, with a clear plan to become number one. Now, the question is, why is it so important to be first top five and then top one? It's not only cool, especially for a founder, but the size in our business model really can unlock a lot of opportunity. There's something that we see in Italy, where for a couple of years we have been already the largest domestic player thanks to a partnership with Italian Post. And here we see how we can optimize logistics, demand and supply matching in a much more efficient way. And more importantly, also how we can push technology adoption into the market. In logistics, they're still resistant to use technology. And once mm-hmm. you're big enough, you can really change behaviors and in a much easier way, ensure that our counterparts, and as example, the trucking companies, the carriers we work with, you know, really embrace the technology, allowing us to really shoot up our efficiency on so many dimensions. So the scale really allows us to unlock a lot of opportunities that we've already seen in Italy, and that's why it's so exciting.
Awesome. David, you said that you know, logistic is still a bit resistant to technology sometimes. You know, people often say logistics isn't sexy, but Sander is proving them wrong, right? What's the most underrated part of you know, running a freight tech company?
I think, first of all, not everyone understands how much logistics impacts our life. It's the backbone of our economy. I believe, Marcin, everything in the room you're sitting in and everything you're wearing has been on a truck.
Yeah.
The even more exciting thing is that this industry will fundamentally change the way it works. Yeah, with AI, we have new opportunities to push technology adoption into the market. But there are two other big technologies that will also fundamentally change the game. One is electrification. Electric trucks cost 3 to 4 times more than diesel truck. Mm-hmm. And with 70% of all trucks owned by companies with fewer than 10 trucks, the question is, why would a small family-owned business buy, you know, a truck that costs for the entire fleet without knowing residual value, operating costs, everyone pays a premium? So also here, business model have to evolve. We're experimenting with the pay-per-use model where trucking companies can get the truck and pay per kilometer. But also when you think about then autonomous trucks, which will take a few years to come, I think it's going to happen at least on the long distance from highway entry to highway exit in the next 10 years, simply because there's a shortage of truck drivers out there. Mm-hmm. But this will fundamentally change the game. Take the business model of our largest shareholder, Scania, a truck manufacturer. Uh-huh. In that future, for them, most likely will not just be enough to produce an asset. And the batteries that will probably be in there will be produced in a cheaper way, maybe in Asia. Mm-hmm. And also the value proposition needs to evolve. And all of this is happening in the next 10 years. And there's a few breaking points. Soon we won't have enough truck drivers to move everything that we want to buy in supermarkets, which then will accelerate this transition. And then we as Sender can be in pole position to drive this change. Mm-hmm. And this is super, super exciting because I think in my life I'm going to experience a lot of cool things, such as maybe flying in a flying taxi. But it's not something that will fundamentally change my life. And it's not something that I will be able to impact. And when it comes to logistics, all of this change is going to happen soon in the next 10 years. And we as Sender are positioned to really fast forward this industry.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love to hear it. And the future is coming after us all. David, but you also mentioned, you know, this smaller, more traditional companies. How do you convince traditional old school freight carriers to trust and adopt digital solutions? What's the toughest resistance you've faced?
So logistics is an old school industry. And it relies on a trust relationship. I mentioned it earlier, it's highly fragmented. 70% of all trucks are owned by companies with fewer than 10 trucks. Even if on the truck there's a brand of a company such as Sender, typically that truck belongs to a family-owned business. These family-owned businesses typically come from a situation where the owner was a truck driver and then started an entrepreneurial career. So it's not very proficient and sophisticated companies that you typically work with. Now, they've been operating for 20, 30 years with emails. They come from a time where there was still fax machines. Now emails, maybe WhatsApp. And then you come and knock on their door and say, you know what? The future is digital. We can fundamentally change it. You can all interact with us in a platform. You don't even have to call us. And that's the challenge, to show that there is a new way that is better. And this is why it's so important to continue to build a trust relationship. But move the day-to-day the recurring repetitive task on the platform. So our operators move from calling a trucking company over the phone saying, do you have a truck for load? How much money do you want? Where's the truck? Because it's late. And please send me the documents via email or mail. Mm-hmm. Now to saying, hey, how you doing? We're still going to ask, you know, how's your family? How's everything? Mm-hmm. But then we're going to talk about, hey, why were you late yesterday? Mm-hmm. What can we do that you're on time tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Then we're going to say, hey, do you want to work more with us? We have more opportunities, regular transport that we can give you. Mm-hmm. And then we say, hey, do you want to reduce the cost? We have very good fuel cards that, you know, can access your discounts or give you discounts that you otherwise would not receive. And this is where we are shifting, you know, the relationship to, because logistic is and will stay a trust or relationship business built on trust. Mm-hmm. And technology, yeah, can be introduced by leveraging this trust relationship. And that's why it's taking a bit longer than anticipated. But now with the scale and also the business that we acquired, which has almost 30 years of presence in Europe and 30 years of relationship, I believe we can truly accelerate this technology adoption and make it more efficient for everyone.
Clearly, logistics is all about, you know, efficiency. Does that mindset spill into your personal life? Are you the kind of person who, you know, optimizes everything, even packing a suitcase?
Well, it depends who you ask. On the suitcase part, I definitely, optimize. But I like to think about efficiency also more as discipline. There's a few things where there's definitely a connection. I'm very disciplined in doing my sports. I'm very disciplined, maybe to have a healthy nutrition during the week. I'm very disciplined in having a coach, something I can recommend to everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's always hard to wake up at 6:30. Wake up early and start at 6:30.
Unless you have a baby that wakes you up.
Exactly. Well, that also came in, but still also then you have a baby and I think it's still, you know, you need to be efficient and therefore disciplined to get, you know, everything into your day. And I just work better if I have that discipline and I keep that level of efficiency. So I think that's definitely something that probably I share as a private individual as well as a leader within Sender.
Nice. I like it, David. We'll have later at the end of this conversation, we have a game which is going to empower us to let you, I mean, to get to know you a bit more personally. So then we'll get back to personal stuff. Now, let's talk more about Sender. So Sender's impact on reducing empty kilometers is huge. How far can digitalization and automation push sustainability in logistics?
Massively. So transportation is one of the biggest contributors to CO2 emissions in Europe. And there are different statistics out there, but 25 to 30 something percent of all trucks travel empty. Mm-hmm. Even though I mentioned earlier, there's a shortage of truck drivers already today. And why is this the case? Because there is information asymmetry. A small trucking company from Sicily, Italy, that just brought some oranges to a production facility of Coca-Cola in Berlin needs to go back. They might speak a bit of English, but they travel empty into Munich, where there's a WhatsApp group that allows them to get the load back to Milan and then go back. Yeah, there's so much inefficiency because the market is so fragmented and because there's still a lot of regional differences and language barriers in there. And this is where technology can really have a massive impact. When we have a transport coming from Sicily to Berlin, we find a follow-on load, in my example, into Munich, or in some cases, even back to Sicily, to really reduce that empty kilometers. And logistics frequently needs to be, the planning needs to be revised. There's a lot of unexpected situation. There's a traffic jam. There's a delay in loading and unloading. And that's why you have to constantly replan the schedule of all of these trucks. And if you don't have the support of technology, it becomes very, very difficult to be efficient. And that's why also the companies are very small, because they can optimize themselves a bit better. But this also still means that there's a lot of inefficiency in the process. And this is where we, with our technology, can really make the difference.
Amazing. David, you've gone through, you know, hyper growth, acquisitions, and industry shifts. What's the best leadership lesson you've learned the hard way?
The hard way is that every time you double the size of your organization, you have to redefine both the structure of the organization and the leadership in your organization. Mm. And it's always extremely hard, because you need to, you know, excite people, build a trust relationship with people that you empower. And then you just realize, oh, I'm doubling in size again. And now I need someone more experienced. I need someone with a different skill set. And then, you know, I have to go back to those people that typically also become very close to you, friends, and you have to tell them, you know, it's time to either step into a different role or potentially even step out. And it's extremely hard. Every time I set up the new team and the new structure and so on, I think, okay, now that's the one that I'll go with until the end, just then to realize again, every time there's a big transformation that happened, that that's not sufficient, and that there are evolutions that you have to do, which come with very difficult decisions and hard conversations.
Yeah, I can imagine. David, so speaking about growth, Xander has raised over $350 million. If you actually had to pitch investors today in just one sentence, what would it be?
Xander is the future of logistics. Logistics is the backbone of our economy, and logistics will break over the next 5 to 7 years, because there's no one that wants to drive a truck in Europe.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a massive opportunity in this huge market, $430 billion, that is highly fragmented.
Nice. I would invest, I must say. David, what's the next ambitious goal that gets you and your co-founders excited? What's Xander's next big leap?
Well, now we're all heads down to ensure that this integration of the business that we acquired is successful. We have to migrate everything on our platform to fully unlock the opportunities that I mentioned earlier. And this is, for me, a bit also a proof point to see, is this scale really going to allow us to unlock even more value? And if that's the case, you know, we've proven that by growing, we can be so much more efficient, and which then potentially leads us to, you know, the next phase of growth, where we then have a new or a refined equity story that can say, hey, the bigger we get, the more exciting the journey gets, which would then take us, you know, to the next path of our journey.
Nice. Sounds good. I like it. So now, David, if you're up for it, of course, it's time for the game. It's about, like, you know, having quick questions and quick answers. Shall we play?
Let's play.
Let's do it. Okay, let me start. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Focus beats everything. Choose one thing and go all in so many dimensions. Your business focus, the team. If you try to do too many things at the same time, you're going to fail.
Nice. What's the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
I think it was, don't worry, things will work out. Okay. They don't unless you make them work out. And you need, especially when difficult situation, you need to be standing in front of, you know, the problem and solve it firsthand.
What's the most non-obvious skill that makes someone a great founder?
I think it's knowing when not to care. As a founder, you care about so many things. Sometimes founders are also considered micromanagers, because it's your baby, you're building it. But you have to know when not to care, because at a certain point, your time is limited, your resources are limited, the focus of the organization is limited, and you have to start shifting your focus. So knowing when not to care is a very difficult but super important skill that founders need.
If you could steal one skill from any founder or investor or any person, what would it be?
Also a tricky question, but I think Jeff Bezos' long-term thinking is something I'd like, you know, to steal. Uh-huh. And maybe I'm thinking about. He played a decade-long game, and while many others were more focused on quick wins, and there's a lot of parallels to that with logistics. I told you about all of the changes that I expect in the next 10 years, and we're preparing. Yeah, we're succeeding now, but preparing for a future that can be even more exciting. This long-term thinking is definitely a skill that I'm trying to learn.
Nice. David, and if you could steal one skill from any founder or investor or any person, what would it be?
Also a difficult question. I think it's Jeff Bezos' long-term thinking. He played a decade-long game with everyone else, focusing also on quick wins. And there's a lot of parallels with what we are doing. I mentioned, you know, how this industry will fundamentally change over the next 10 years. And there's a lot from this long-term thinking skill set that I'm trying to learn.
Love it. Who's the wildest, most brilliant person in your phone contacts?
It's an easy answer, might be a bit cheesy, but it's my father. He's a true old school entrepreneur. No venture capital, no tech, you know, an old school entrepreneur, and definitely someone that I still call to the day when I face challenging situations.
Amazing. We have that in common. I have the same. What's one piece of wisdom that everyone believes, but you think it's total bullshit?
Work-life balance in the early stages of a startup, that's a myth. At the beginning, you need to have product market fit and you need to go all in. You cannot do it on the side. You cannot. It's probably one of the toughest moments in the journey of a founder. And this is when, you know, it's all about crunch time.
Hmm. If you could pick anyone in the world to assemble the ultimate startup dream team, you know, three people to co-found the startup with, who's on the list and why?
Also, maybe a bit cheesy my answer, but I have a clear thinking here. I would still pick my two co-founders, Nico and Julius, who have been with me since 2016. And there's so much trust. There's so much understanding of who is good and what. Maybe I would add the technical co-founder, but with everything that AI is allowing us, probably next 1 or 2 years, if we would start something together again, we would not even need that. So I would definitely go again with Nico, Julius, and maybe add myself to the mix.
Amazing. I was hoping for that answer. I love it. David, last one. And probably, I don't know, the hardest one, but tricky one as well. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
Build, family, learn, give, repeat.
Awesome. I love it. Everyone, clap for David. That's a wrap. It's been amazing to have you on the show. Such a pleasure. Such a great conversation. I had so much fun. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. I'm sure people will love it. I hope you enjoyed it as well. And I hope to see you soon in person.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.